My dearly beloved in Christ, I had mentioned last Sunday that three of the four Sundays in Advent feature St. John the Baptist, some aspect of his ministry. Last Sunday, we had the disciples of St. John the Baptist going to our Lord, asking him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And after our Lord pointed out to them all of the miracles that they had just witnessed, the blind being cured and the paralyzed and the deaf and the dumb and so forth, and our Lord said, "And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." And they went their way. And after they left, our Lord praised St. John the Baptist. He said, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind, or a man in soft garments?" And they knew that John the Baptist was just the opposite. And our Lord quoted from Malachias the prophet, who said, "I will send my angel before thy face to prepare thy way before thee." And that is who John the Baptist was, the precursor, the one who runs before, who prepares the people. And those who listened to the preaching of John the Baptist and took it to heart were the ones who accepted our Lord when he began his public ministry shortly after the time of St. John. St. John the Baptist is often referred to as the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was, in a way, on the cusp of the New Testament and the conclusion of the Old Testament. He was related to our Lord, because his mother was Elizabeth, the wife of Zachary, who was a cousin of Our Lady. And we read at the Annunciation that Our Lady asked the angel Gabriel, "How shall this be done, since I know not man?" When the angel had told her that she would bring forth a son and would call his name Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. "How shall this be done?" And the angel said to her that it would be done by the power of the Holy Ghost. "The Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the Holy One to be born shall be the Son of God," because the angel went on to say, "No word is impossible with God. Your cousin Elizabeth is with child." She who was considered barren, Elizabeth had had no children, and now she was elderly. But the angel went on to say, "No word shall be impossible with God." So our Blessed Mother, learning now that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant, was in her sixth month of pregnancy, determined to go and visit Elizabeth, what we call the visitation. And Our Lady traveled quite a distance to visit her cousin and to help her for those final 3 months of her pregnancy. But as Our Lady approached the house, she greeted Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, it says in Scripture, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, at the sound of your greeting, the babe in my womb leapt for joy." And of course, that was John the Baptist. And scriptural commentators and theologians teach that leaping for joy in the womb of his mother meant that John the Baptist was cleansed from the stain of original sin before he was even born, while yet in his mother's womb. According to tradition, when he was only 3 years old, inspired by the Holy Ghost, John the Baptist went into the desert and lived the life of a recluse in the desert, fasting and praying. He was girded with the skin of a camel. He ate locusts and wild honey, whatever he could find in the desert, until finally that day came when the Holy Ghost inspired him to leave the desert and to go forth and preach and prepare the people for the coming Messiah. Now, the interesting thing about the preaching of John the Baptist is that the people were drawn to him. In next Sunday's gospel, it mentions that all Judea went out to him, meaning, like literally, most of the people from Jerusalem and southern part of the Holy Land, as well as the northern part, all these people went out to him, and yet he didn't work any miracles that we know of. There is none recorded in Scripture. So why did they go out? They were drawn by his obvious holiness of life, his asceticism. His words moved people. And they went and said to him, "What shall we do?" And he instructed the people to be just and to look forward to the coming of the one for whom he was preparing. And he baptized them as a symbolic act of their sorrow for sin, their repentance. It was not the sacrament of baptism. Now, the Pharisees, the priests in Jerusalem, the scribes, who were the learned men of the law, they heard about this too. And so they sent an embassy to ask him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? Who art thou?" And John right away said to them, "I am not the Christ." He knew that that was their thought. Are you the longed for Messiah? "I am not the Christ." "Are you Elias?" "No." "Are you the prophet?" "No." "Then who are you?" "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, as Isaiah the prophet said, 'Make ready the way of the Lord.'" Now notice how the ambassadors from the priests asked him, "Are you Elias?" when he denied that he was the Messiah. "Then are you Elias?" Well, who is Elias? Elias was considered to be the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. He fasted for 40 days, as did Moses, foreshadowing our Lord's fast of 40 days. Elias worked stupendous miracles. He brought down fire from heaven to destroy upon a victim and to destroy the idols and so forth, and worked again many miracles. Well, Elias had a disciple named Eliseus. And it got to the point that it was the end of the mission of Elias, and he was going to be taken from the earth. And Eliseus knew that. And one day as they were walking along towards the Jordan, he said, "When you leave, will you give me your twofold spirit?" It means I want to have twice the extraordinary gift you have for working miracles and so forth. And Elias said to Eliseus, "You have asked a hard thing, but if you keep your eyes on me when I'm taken from you, then it shall be given to you." And as they continued on towards the Jordan and eventually to the other side, there were schools of prophets in those days. And these young men who were studying, who had been given gift of prophecy, they came up to Eliseus and said, "Your master is going to be taken from you." And he said, I know, be quiet." Well, they got to the Jordan River. Elias took off his cloak, tapped the water, and it divided, and they walked across. And then on the other side, a fiery chariot came down and divided the two and took Eliseus up into heaven. Took Elias up into heaven. And as Eliseus didn't take his eyes off Elias, he was watching him. Elias let his cloak fall, and Eliseus took that cloak and with it worked numerous miracles. And many scripture commentators think that that's who is referred to by the prophet. So first of all, they asked, "Are you Elias?" "No." "Are you the prophet?" That might have been Eliseus, or maybe it was just in general, a prophet, a great prophet. And John the Baptist really wasn't a prophet in the normal sense of the term, although he pointed out our Lord. But he was, again, the precursor. Now, let us listen to what the commentators say about this embassy that was sent by the priests. "The reason of this embassy was because the chief priests saw John leading in the desert an angelic life, preaching with great power, baptizing and moving men to repentance, as none of the other prophets had done. The chief priests thought, therefore, that it was their duty to ask him who he was, especially because they knew that the scepter had passed from Judah to Herod, and the 70 weeks of Daniel being completed, the coming of the Messiah must be nigh at hand. Therefore, suspecting that John himself was the Messiah, they asked him, "Who art thou?" Now, St. John Chrysostom gives another reason, which I think is the more likely reason. He says they asked out of envy and hatred of Jesus in order that they might show that Jesus was not the Messiah. They would have preferred to bestow the title upon John. They disliked John's preferring Jesus to himself and calling him the Messiah. St. John Chrysostom is of the opinion that they asked because they envied John. They were aggrieved because John, by his holiness of life, his preaching and baptism, had become so famous and was more highly esteemed than they themselves, and was drawing the people away from the scribes and the priests and to himself. They saw his fame. They saw how the people were drawn to him. And they envied that just as they would then envy our Lord. Now, John, the very next day after this gospel incident, the very next day, pointed out our Lord when he saw him walking by the Jordan. He had already baptized him previously, and saw the dove descending upon our Lord and heard the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And after that, after our Lord was baptized, our Lord went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and fasted. And then he came back to the Jordan. And so the next day again, after this incident, John pointed him out to his disciples and he said those words, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world." Trying to get his disciples to now follow our Lord. His mission was complete. And in fact, shortly thereafter, he was arrested by Herod because he publicly rebuked Herod for his sin, cast into prison, and then eventually executed. So John was certainly a great saint and fulfilled his task of pointing out our Lord, leading the people to our Lord, preparing them for our Lord. St. John is a model for us during Advent, because Advent is a time to make some sacrifices. We think of the words of our Lord. He said, "If you will be my disciple, deny thyself, take up thy cross, and follow me." And those are very important words of our Lord to remember, because that is what a true Christian is, one who practices self-denial, one who carries his cross without complaining, one who follows our Lord. "If thou wilt be my disciple, deny thyself, take up thy cross, and follow me." And Advent is especially a season for self-denial as we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord. 2 weeks have already passed. 2 weeks remain. Let us make certain that we spend this season well, with St. John the Baptist as our model, practicing self-denial, preparing for the coming of our Lord, for his birth at Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.